How do you understand your employer brand? You can aim to win awards. You can launch a new career site. You can activate beautiful campaigns. You can spend a ton of money on making everything shiny. But how do you measure how you're actually performing in the eyes of your candidates, employees, and alumni? We have developed the Employer Brand Index to help practitioners understand their company's reputation as an employer. It gives you a quantitative and qualitative understanding of what talent thinks, presented in an easily understandable score and actionable report. Learn more at employerbrandindex.co.
Hey, Sunservation, it's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by your friends here at Link Humans. We are, of course, fine purveyors of data-driven employer brand insights. And this week on the podcast, I am going to speak to an individual representing a company that delivers innovative software that crushes business complexity. That's quite the tagline on LinkedIn, I have to say. Now, we are going to learn how they also crush employer brand complexity. So without further ado, let's start the show. Hey, Erica, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, how are you? Good to be here.
Great. So who are you and what is it that you do?
My name is Erica Cody, and I'm a global employer brand partner here at Pegasystems. I always say I wear many different hats as part of the employer brand team, but really we focus our efforts around the globe, really to help attract and retain high talent, as well as creating overall brand awareness of Pega as an employer, and really help to build employee value proposition here at Pega to support some of our internal and employee engagement efforts.
Right. So Pega, or full name, Pegasystems. So what is the company all about?
Yeah, so you said it exactly right. So we are Pegasystems, but we do call ourselves Pega. So you're welcome to call us Pega as well. We actually were started in 1983 by our founder and CEO, Alan Treffler. And we've sort of evolved and grown over time as our business has grown, but we are a software as a service company. And what we really do is help businesses crush complexity by offering them solutions that allow them to make better decisions, get work done better, faster, more efficiently, and using a low code platform.
So our listeners who work in HR probably, would they have used any of your products, you think?
Probably not in the HR space, but they might, however, be familiar with any of our, you know, if they're familiar with CRM or if they're working at other tech companies that might offer similar services, they may know us as being a competitor in that space.
Got it. Okay. Right. And what might your talent challenge be over at Pega?
Yeah. So I think this is probably especially true for a lot of other companies in the tech and software industry, but I found at Pega, the two biggest areas that I think we're always looking for are really talented tech individuals, so software engineers, and then sort of on that tech sales side of the house, so, you know, account executives. And then as well, you know, we look to a lot of that pre-sales and consulting space too.
Okay, so it's very tech-centered. And we all know it's cutthroat on there, highly competitive in that space. How do you feel, what's the awareness of Pega as an employer?
Yeah, so I think that this, you know, has really been growing and it continues to grow as Pega evolves. So when I first started at Pega back in January of 2019, we were almost at 4,500 employees. And since then, so in just over 2 years, we've grown to 6,000. So we've definitely been growing as an employer internally, and we've also been growing our business. We're actually publicly traded, for those who don't know, on the NASDAQ, with our stock symbol of PEGA, Pega. And we actually did hit a $1 billion milestone in 2020 for our cloud growth. So, you know, our marketing team has been working pretty effortlessly to find all these great, unique ways to position us as an as-a-service company. And I think that that's really also helped to position us as an employer as well. So ultimately increasing our brand awareness. And I think to our headquarters being here in Cambridge, Massachusetts, I do think we've increasingly grown that awareness here in the Boston area. Our biggest sort of tech hub that we have globally is based in India. So I think that's another area in Hyderabad and Bangalore where that brand awareness is really, really growing, which is contributing, I think, to just the presence as well as we grow the team there.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. Right. So tell me a little bit about employer brand and the function over at Pega.
Yeah. So our employer brand team, you know, I think that that's something that's sort of grown as we've needed to grow, especially with needing to hire more and more talent. And of course, increasing from 4,500 to 6,000 just in 2 short years. You know, I think that the employer brand has really evolved. I know that when I first started, it was the first time there were 2 individuals on the team. So I think we're looking to increase that. And how we really work and who we really work the most with, I would say, is talent attraction leadership. So talent attraction team is our number one stakeholder and our jobs at the end of the day. Yes, while we want to create this internal and employee experience, our biggest main goal is to attract and hire that talent that's out there, right? And to show that employer brand externally so that our different candidates that might have different audience base, depending on if we're growing in a new region, that they really understand who we are. So we want to always be very, very aligned with the talent attraction team to know what the hiring goals are, what the business needs are, and where we can really support. And we're really fortunate at Pega. We have a really great marketing creative team to help us support in those efforts. So I think primarily we've focused on a lot of organic social media content. We focused on building out a comprehensive Pega.com careers website. And we've really looked a lot to employee advocacy at Pega. I think that that's something that I'm sure many other employer brand teams have been looking at and exploring how they can do that really well and really successfully. Because if we think about the fact that we have all these 6,000 people that are across the globe in every different area, department, and function that we're hiring in, why don't we let them tell the story? So I think what we've really tried to do is find those unique ways to make it really easy and accessible by providing tools and platforms to allow our employees to easily, by the click of a switch, share some of that great content out there with their networks. I'm sure as you know, and as many others probably know that are listening, LinkedIn has that ability to reach and touch so many individuals just by posting content. So you're hitting networks that, you know, we as a Pegasystems LinkedIn channel wouldn't necessarily get to do. And I think that that rings true for other platforms, but certainly LinkedIn, I think that's really the bread and butter for anyone, probably an employer brand, because that's where talent is really, when they're on that platform, they're thinking about jobs. You know, they may not be on Instagram thinking about a career, but they will, you know, when they're on LinkedIn, you know, jobs button is right there. So we've really looked heavily into how we can allow our people to really speak for us.
Yeah, I love that. So that's a sort of organic content at scale. And I know also you highlighted to me previously about the importance of treating your employees well post-pandemic and how this affects employer brand. Can you expand on that?
Yeah. So I think that, you know, probably a lot of us out there that work with the employee base and work in sort of an HR people team function at Pega, we do call it people, people team, but, you know, looking at how the pandemic has affected us, not only from our workspaces. So we all know that our kitchens have become offices or bedrooms or guest bedrooms, or sometimes the back porch turns into the space where you need to be working. And, you know, you're right beside your furry friends or children or other individuals who you may share a home with. And it, you know, has provided this sense of not being able to escape, but also being really focused and I think involved in your work that you're doing day to day. And I think people are hyper aware of how they're feeling. I think it's something that, especially I think here in the States, just personally, in my opinion, we haven't always had a very humanistic approach to our work-life balance and what we really need to support ourselves in truly embracing wellness and well-being. And I think through this pandemic, what a lot of people have started to realize is I need this support and this time. And in order to get that, you know, is this something that the employer that I'm committing my 40 plus hours a week to, do I feel that they're doing a good job providing that for me? And do I feel like that's something that I'm comfortable about asking for that time off, or, you know, it's readily available to me, or I feel that support from my management. So, you know, I think just a lot of companies are even looking to how is Zoom fatigue affecting each other? You know, what remote opportunities do we have? So I think really looking at internally, what are the different opportunities and benefits and support that we can be providing our employees? Because ultimately, I think that will, once things in the job market continue to pick back up, which I think it started to do already, which is really fortunate for a lot of those, especially who have lost jobs in this pandemic, But when that really starts kicking into gear, I think individuals will look to, do I feel supported by my company? And if I don't, I'm going to go seek out those companies that look like they're doing that. So that employer brand is going to be really important to be showcasing that type of support. So yes, the development piece is also extremely important. The clients, you know, what do you get to work on every day? But I think also that sort of support and well-being, and I'm treated as a human and not just an employee. So I do think that how employers are going to represent that through their employer brand in the future will really impact not only how they're attracting and hiring, but the employees that they want to retain.
Yes, amen to that. Fantastic. So I know also that you are currently, or you're putting the finishing touches onto a new EVP, Employee Value Proposition. Yes. Can you tell us a little bit about the process and how you arrived at it?
Absolutely. So, I had mentioned that when I joined the team back in 2019, we were a bit smaller of a function. And I think throughout the growth of our business and our employee base, we've really put a lot of focus into our employer brand and thus the need for a formal employee value proposition. So we started this journey back in 2020, which was kind of an interesting time to go on an EVP journey, right? When people aren't in an office and when you're not feeling that culture and that awareness around you of how you feel as an employee. And so we really leaned heavily into looking at all of the data that was available to us. So we've done some really great interviews across the globe when we built our careers websites to understand a bit more about, you know, what a certain function was like or what a certain office was like. So we had all this great content from that, you know, looking at reputation on Glassdoor and some of those responses. Were there trends across what people said were pros and cons? Were there areas that we could start to kind of pinpoint what those things were that people were saying is really what makes Pega a unique and a great place to work? We were also able to look at things like an engagement survey that we've done internally and then have some conversations with individuals at different levels in different areas. And once we thought we really had those main themes, we actually went out and tested them. And I think that this is what's really important when you're building an employee value proposition is not just going and relying maybe on the raw facts and data or maybe just asking, you know, a small set of population, but truly asking across the globe and across all different functions, is this true? Do you feel this way at Pega? And if you don't, why not? Or if it feels almost right, but it needs a little tweaking, what might that tweaking be so that we can make sure that when we commit to this value proposition, that it really speaks true of Pega? One thing we wouldn't want to have is if, you know, you come out with your EVP and then your internal employee base says, well, I don't experience that. Or when you go and you hire these amazing, great candidates and they come in and they start experiencing Pega and go, well, this isn't true at all. So it's really important to go look at all levels of seniority across different areas and different departments to really test that that proposition out and make sure that it is as close to true as can be. There's always going to be outliers, but I think that part of the process is really key for us to validate what we had thought we'd come up with. And so I think, you know, once you have that piece defined, it really is building out the, well, how are we going to show this and tell this? And so I think that is where you need that really creative hat to come in. And we had engaged a third party vendor to come in and help with that, who, you know, works on building out EVPs for multiple different clients across the globe. So I think, you know, taking that experience was helpful to say, how can we be unique and how can we not look and sound like every other company out there? Because I do think a lot of EVPs, if you Google them, you'll probably find a lot of common traits across them. But I think it's how you present it that makes it really unique. So definitely for anyone listening, if you're interested in what that might look like for us, you know, look at our hashtag Life at Pega and check out some of our channels to see sort of how we brought that to life.
Yeah, fantastic. And speaking of bringing the employer brand to life, how do you go about activate your employer brand, the EVP, both internally and externally?
Yeah, so I think internally, I think always important when you're talking about employer brand or employee value proposition is to ensure that your people know about it first, right? And that the people that have already committed, that are already here, that they feel it and that they understand it. So I really think that partnership with internal communication is vital to ensure that message is in sync across different organizations, especially working in a global organization. You want to make sure that someone sitting in Cambridge and somebody sitting in Tokyo, they both understand what the employer brand is for Pega and that it rings true. Obviously, there might be some differences across with certain offices or certain leadership teams and different functions, but it really needs to kind of start within. And then from there, like I said, we focus a lot of our efforts really heavily on that employee advocacy. So creating that platform that's really, really simple for employees to go in and share content. And also just in ensuring that people understand how to interact on social media, how to use your LinkedIn, how to really build your personal brand. And then, you know, from there, how can you be helping to amplify the Pega brand? And I think that we have a lot of diehard Pega fans internally. What's interesting, in 38 plus years, we've had some individuals who have been here for decades. So I think it just does speak true to how much the people are can enjoy working here at Pega, and we really can lean heavily on that. I think from a social media perspective, I might have mentioned this, but we do look a lot to that organic. We have like a pretty decent follower base. We do a lot of that organic content. And I think, you know, just saying that our employees tend to go out and like and comment and share a lot of that content too is just really helpful for us as well.
Great. And you mentioned about your CEO and founder and some of these diehard Pega employees as well. Are you able to involve senior leadership in this employee advocacy program? Do you get your leaders to be active on LinkedIn and social media and other places?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. So I know that I sit on the people team, but in our marketing department, there is a team sort of dedicated to supporting our leadership with their LinkedIn profiles and any right. LinkedIn articles that they're writing, and really encouraging them on sharing content, being really authentic and real and transparent, and using those platforms and how creating that business case for them too. Because I do think sometimes it is difficult for some senior leaders to say, you know, I have all these things to do and you want me to go on and log into LinkedIn and comment on some things. But I think that, you know, over time, people have been able to really show the value in that, using some data and analytics to say, you know, this is actually really impactful for your clients, your partners, your employees, and yourself, and for your personal brand. So I do think that there's been a heavy focus on a lot of that thought leadership and how that can really help to trickle down to any sort of like recruitment and employer brand activities.
Yeah, love that. Okay. And how do you go about measuring the impact of the employer brand and perhaps the return on investment?
Yes, the $1 million employer brand question, right?
That's the one.
yeah, it's always the tricky one to answer, right? Because obviously there's certain metrics and tactics that we can do. And I think that some of the pieces that we do look at are, you know, the visibility and the click-through rates that we're getting on a lot of those .com pages. So anything that we're sharing out organically through social, or that we're sharing out through some of those employee advocacy platforms. So I mentioned, you know, our employees can be sharing content. So whether or not we've won a great award for best place to work, or we've won anything around sort of a culture award, or whether it's, you know, here's a great article from our chief people officer, or, you know, check out our marketing roles on our page, right? So almost all of those links will end up coming back to Pega.com. So we really always have that push over to our website. So it's a place that we do look at to measure the success of, from an awareness perspective, are people interested enough in what we're sharing to come actually over to the site? And then how long are they staying there? Are they clicking through? Are they going to other pages? You know, which pages are doing well, which ones aren't? So we've really relied heavily on some of that data and metrics around our website. And then when we look at, as I mentioned, sort of that employee advocacy, so we can really measure from that platform everything from the shares and likes and interaction rates to the reactions that each of those posts are getting. So we are able to track and measure the recruiter success too. So each of our individual recruiters sort of has like a score, if you will, related to the content that they're sharing and how much is getting pushed out there. So again, it's a lot just around sort of like the sharing and the clicks and our people coming in. But when we really think about, you know, how success is measured and whether or not those are turning into jobs, I think, you know, looking at on our ATS platform, we have the option of course, if candidates can know where they came to, how they heard of Pega and why they were able to apply to the job. So there is some of that more tactical to see, you know, was it through a social media post or was it through LinkedIn? things like that. And I think too, we've relied really heavily on referrals, which again speaks a lot to that employee advocacy. And in that, I think, you know, something crazy like almost a third of our new hires end up coming through from our own people. So we always truly believe that top talent knows top talent, right? You know, if we trust our people and we know the great work that they can do, then they probably know some other people who can do some amazing work as well.
Great. Okay. Now, what would be some of your top tips to employer brand practitioners listening to this right now?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think as I've continued to mention, creating employee advocacy is so important, and it's actually free if you think about it. So, you know, like I mentioned, we have a robust referral program that we really rely on to bring talent in our door. So that's one really great way to just start engaging right now. I think it's pretty easy to stand up. You know, you give people the tools to how to use social media and really kind of let them go with it and make it their own. And I think that that sort of speaks to one of my, you know, another tip that I'd share is that using real people and authenticity is becoming more and more and more important. I think what's interesting is that I remember seeing a commercial actually at the beginning of the pandemic. I want to say it might have been a Microsoft Teams commercial. And what was interesting is I was watching TV and I sort of saw this commercial come on, and I almost thought that it was a glitch because it was seeing these sort of what looked like WebEx or Zoom backgrounds of these individuals with not great audio. But it looked as though I was watching or that I was in a meeting and just seeing that. And I thought to myself, wow, here you have this massive global company who's going out here and publishing content that looks less than perfect. And they're fine with that. And they paid money to go out and do this. And from then on, I think it started becoming really normalized for people to be sharing raw footage, for people to have, you know, photos posted that weren't overtouched and over edited. And I think that that started to create a sense of trust around with different, whether it's a certain industry or not, or whether it's through your LinkedIn or through even a television ad, I think people started to feel really close to that content. So I think that there's this sort of uniqueness now that we have where instead of trying to find these professional photographs of, you know, maybe team pictures, because right now, obviously, we can't really get people together, at least in a lot of where our offices are, to get those shots. So I think it's, you know, looking at, are there ways to really amplify user-generated content? I mean, I would think that probably all of us now have smartphones that have really great camera quality. And if you can really, you know, guide people on lighting and angles and how to position yourself, you can get some amazing, authentic, real photos that people are willing and able to share. So I think it's finding that authenticity to really build trust across your candidate or across your audience base. And then, you know, lastly, I think on that authenticity note, again, when you're building that AVP, don't make assumptions. I think that that's the number one thing to remember is that only your company and your employees know why someplace is a great place to work. We could sit here and preach all day, but the only people that really know whether it is or not are the people living it. So talk to them, ask them, and really let that story shine.
Fantastic. Okay. So those were tips for our practitioners. Now, we also have a large segment of listeners who are perhaps working in TA or social media or comms who would like to get into employer brand. So how would you recommend, how would you start out your career in employer brand?
That's a great question. So, and I think that everyone who probably works in employer brand has their own unique story to share. So for me particularly, I actually came from the financial services industry and I was focused on internal communication and employee engagement when I was there. So it lent itself a bit to that marketing communications role, but really focusing on people and on sort of that employee base and you know, what is it about the organization that makes people want to stay engaged and keeps them sort of, I wouldn't say happy at work, but definitely content and enjoying what they do. And so I think for me, it was, you know, when I hadn't even heard of employer brand, to be completely honest with you, until I ended up joining Pega. And once I learned more about what it was, I was like, oh, wow, this is actually really cool. And I had a very short stint myself actually in recruiting a few years ago. And I just remember having those phone calls with candidates who maybe didn't have a job or maybe really wanted their dream job, and just knowing the impact that you can have on that and helping somebody find that, right? And find that sort of career and that purpose and really enjoying what they love and feeling supported. It got me excited about coming into employer brand. And I had all of those tactics and tools sort of in my toolkit, as you will, to understand, you know, how to reach different audiences, how to communicate to them, what's important about messaging, using social media. And I think for especially a lot of millennials who grew up using it, kind of already have that baseline around the importance of it, just as being a user, just as the same way that as employer brand, we've all been employees and we all are. So even those working in employer brand are still employees at that company. So it's something that I think if you're interested in it, I wouldn't worry about having that solidified background, whether it's in recruiting or in marketing. I came over from that marketing comm side, and ironically it had a very short stint trying recruiting. So kind of had a little bit of both sides of it, but you know, the recruiters as well, they speak to the candidates every day. And I'm sure that there's a lot of folks in recruiting who would love to learn more about the employer brand. We internally focus, our recruiters are really talent attraction consultants. So their job really is talent attraction, which at the end of the day, you need to really have that good employer brand to support them in their talent attraction efforts. So I think it lends itself really nicely to coming over and working in the employer brand space if you do have that recruiter background, because you're already selling your company every day.
Yeah, absolutely. I did recruiting for 7 years and I can vouch for that. It's a good background to have had for sure.
Definitely.
Right. Final question, Erica. Where can our listeners connect with yourself? And also, where can they learn more about Pega?
Absolutely. So you can find me on LinkedIn, Erica Cote. That's E-R-I-K-A-C-O-T-E. And definitely, I would recommend following Pega Systems on LinkedIn and on Instagram for our latest news and content. And look out for the hashtag LifeAtPega for anything related to our culture and employer brand.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. This was great.
Okay, there we go, folks. Be sure to reach out to Erica, and thank you ever so much for sharing the Pega story and all those great insights. And also, if you are subscribed to this podcast, or if you just happen to stumble across this episode, feel free to leave a review somewhere and tell us what you think of the show. These sorts of reviews, especially if they're positive, they do help us to get in front of more listeners like yourself. But no pressure, all I ask for is honesty. And speaking of honesty, if you want to know how you are being perceived by candidates, employees, and alumni in an employer brand context, of course, then check out the Link Humans Index, also known as the Employer Brand Index. And it's where we analyze data and present a report with a final score so that you can measure that employer brand journey as you work through it. And you can learn more about that at linkhumans.com, or just email me and I'll be happy to set up a demo for you. That is it for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in, and looking forward to catching up next time. Hey-do.
What do you call grandma on speed dial?
No idea.
Instagram.